Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Noir and Note podcast. Disclaimer, none of the comments or opinions expressed in this podcast are meant to trigger, offend, or discredit anyone from any race, gender, creed, or sexual orientation. This podcast is primarily focused on sharing my personal thoughts and experiences with a few dashes of comic relief. Thank you. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, my dudes, does, ghouls, gals, non-binaries, and everything in between. This is Janine, and you're listening to Noir Nope. It is Monday. Wow. Duh, because this is when I record this podcast, but it just seems like this month has gone by so quickly. I have achieved nothing. I've achieved nothing. This is why I don't make resolutions, because I don't want to disappoint myself any more than I already have. I hope you all are doing well in your journey through this life. Hope you all are staying grounded and connected with your loved ones. I'm not. I don't know why, but I'm just in a place of solitude right now. I don't want to be bothered. I just want to do my own thing. If it weren't for so many things, I would probably just be like sailing on a boat somewhere, having a tennis ball as my friend named Wilson, or some crazy shit like that. I don't know. I'm just kind of feel like I'm a little disassociated with everything and everyone, which is not a good thing. It's not a bad thing, because it helps you reflect on a whole bunch of shit that's going on. But it's also not a good thing, because like, I feel like that year and some change where we all were locked in our house due to COVID-19, our social skills have really plummeted. I mean, I worked in retail, emphasis on past tense, worked in retail. I'll talk about that in a later podcast, but yeah, I no longer work in retail or at all. Again, we'll talk about that in the next podcast. But anyway, I just feel like retail really helped me acclimate or get my social skills together. And even though I was there for like a year and a half, I still feel like I scratched the surface of being a little bit more social and a little bit more little bit easier to communicate with people. But yeah, there's that. It has been raining for the past couple of days. It's given London right now in New York City, but it is what it is. I personally like going out in the rain because there's less people to worry about. There's less people on the street. There's less people doing goon shit. That won't stop them. There were some kids who robbed another kid for sneakers on 145th and Broadway, all the way in Harlem. That's not all the way, but you know, it's up there. And not the kid out. Like, literally, he was unconscious for some fucking Jordans. Like, and there was six of you. What are y'all gonna do with those Jordans? Are you gonna wear them? Are you gonna sell them? Because, believe you me, those sneakers sold, and the money that you made off them split six ways, that ain't gonna cover a lot. Sorry, you're not gonna eat off those sneakers, sorry, unless you're flipping them or whatever. But anyways, even then, six of you are not making much money, and you actually did something real stupid, because two of them I think were caught, so you threw your life away over some sneakers. Dumb. But you know, I don't know. The kids these days, they do some real dumb shit to entertain themselves. Like, when I was a kid, showing my age, but video games were just becoming a popular thing. I had like a Super Nintendo, and I had one of those little games that looked like the arcade games, like the big arcade games, but a smaller compact size, and I would play that, and I would go outside and play. Y'all remember that, going outside and playing? So my time was always kind of occupied doing something. But what I don't understand is, like, these kids have all the technology and all the advances in the world right now when it comes to entertaining themselves, and they still do dumb shit like this. I blame TikTok. Even though I'm on TikTok, but I don't participate in it. I just read comments from friends that I follow and stuff like that, but I'm not on TikTok like that. Because at the end of the day, you can learn a few things, but it's so dumb. It's so repetitive. Social media in itself is very repetitive. I've noticed this a while ago, but even more so, especially if you're like the type of person who likes certain types of videos, the algorithm just becomes very repetitive. I haven't been on Instagram in a while. I don't really want to go back on there until like April, because I usually give up social media for Lent, and Lent, I believe, begins on the 22nd of February. So I'm like, what's the point of going on now, staying there for like a month, and then being off for a month? I'll just wait until April to do. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. Everything will be the same. It's social media, whatever. People who know me have my phone number. If you want to know what's up, just text me. That's, you know, let's not be silly. But yeah, stepping away from social media for a bit, stepping away from working for a bit, because I don't know, I think I had like a existential crisis of some sort, but again, I'll talk about that in another podcast. But yeah, I just feel like my brain is really foggy and I just need to clear it out some way, shape, or form. I don't know whether I need yoga or meditation or something, child. I don't know, just feel real fogged up in the head. So yeah, can't step away from work for too long because, you know, bills need to be paid, and I like nice things. I like to buy nice things for myself, so I can't really step away from work completely. The job market is real weird because they're laying off a bunch of people, but there's also a bunch of jobs hiring. So, and I actually saw this at my previous job. They were hiring a lot of people, or a good amount of people, and then those people were leaving like bit by bit because you're just hiring due to qualifications, which I understand, duh, that's how you hire. But you're also not really picking up on the person themselves. These people are young, so they have many opportunities at their hands. They mostly live at home, so they don't have to worry about rent or stuff like that. They're in school, so they have that to occupy their time. And yeah, they're just very much, I don't even know how to put this, but their fight or flight senses are really good, because they're just like, I don't need this job, I don't need the aggravation, I'm just gonna go. You know, it's so transparent with younger people. And the turnover rate, mostly because it's retail, but also because you're not hiring quality people. I was at my previous position for like a year and a half. I would have stayed longer, but there were certain circumstances, which I will again address in another podcast, where I really didn't want to affiliate myself with. And there were also some things said that I didn't appreciate in regards to my work ethic. So it's like, if you're not going to appreciate me here, I'd rather just be somewhere else where I am appreciated for my work skills, or I'd rather just be home, sleeping, relaxing, instead of stressing myself out talking to customers. Like, and I get the younger generation's mentality in regards to work, and I'm also starting to feel it myself, because even though I'm significantly older, and I was older than a lot of my coworkers, it's just like, enough is enough. You know, when you look around, you see you're being treated a certain type of way. Like, what's the point of continuing on? What's the point of giving 110% if you're going to be glossed over and no one's really interested in putting you in a higher position? And then they usually give you some like 50-cent raise, as if that is going to help in any way, shape, or form when it comes to inflation. Eggs are fucking $9 a carton. You can take that 50 cents and, I don't know, put it in a change jar. Maybe one day you'll be able to afford a carton of eggs. And then there's shrinkflation where prices are going up, but the quantity of the product is going down. Like, have you picked up a cereal box recently? It's depressing. Speaking of cereal, I kind of want some Cheerios right now. I'll do it later. Anyway, but it's depressing. Like, everything is going up in price. Everything is shrinking in terms of the quantity. Let's not get into the homeless rate, which apparently statistically, from New York City's perspective, the majority, not all, of homeless people on the street right now are not only male, but they are Black males, which I found to be really interesting. They had a story about Row NYC, which is a hotel here in New York City, which is housing a lot of migrants, homeless people. What's the term? I'm trying not to use something defensive or offensive, excuse me. People who weren't born here, essentially, people from other countries. And they did an in-depth report about how deplorable the freaking hotel is. And there's mess everywhere, and people are not eating the food that they're providing. Granted, they look like sandwiches that were sat on by a 500-pound person. But there's like garbage bags full of sandwiches that they're not eating. So that adds on to the waste. Food waste, which I really absolutely hate. I hate when I see mounds of food just going to waste where they can go to people who actually want to eat it. But the people who you think actually want to eat it don't want to eat it. And I get it from both standpoints. Just because I am not in a position of having my own roof over my head, or maybe I'm not employed at the moment, or maybe I'm just not someone who is making a substantial living right now, doesn't mean I want a ass sandwich. I don't want a sandwich that looked like someone smashed down on, you know, sat down on for like 45 minutes to an hour. I get that. I think a lot of people want to just throw anything at people who are on hard times, and they want them to be grateful. And I get it, because you're providing them with something, but just because they're not in the greatest position now doesn't mean that they want to take scraps and, you know, these ass sandwiches. A long time ago, when I worked events and promotions, what they would do is we would be working long hours, and then they say they would provide us food, which I got hip to real quick. But anyways, they would provide us food, but then they would let the elite staff, like the, what do you call them, the production assistants, the managers, the bosses, they'll let them eat first, and then they would give us like the scraps. And one of my friends, well, I'm not gonna say, but she just has this regal way about her. She doesn't accept anything mediocre. She's Nigerian, and let me tell you something about Nigerians. They do not accept mediocrity. Y'all, just shout out to my Nigerians, because y'all just do not fuck with anything that isn't aligned to excellence. And I appreciate y'all for that. And I learned from her, from working from her, that, yeah, don't accept fucking scraps. You deserve better. Everyone does. Except for, like, you know, criminals. Like, I don't think Jeffrey Dahmer deserved better. He deserved that ass whooping in jail. But you know what I'm saying. So from her, and like working with her, I'm like, I think she's significantly younger than me too. So I'm learning all these life lessons late in life, but better late than never. And I learned from her, I'm like, yeah, why am I accepting this shit? So I would just either bring my own lunch or have, you know, money to buy something. And I didn't get like stank looks, but I got like side eyes from the people who were like the production assistants and the managers and stuff like that, because I wasn't eating their food. I'm like, you really think I'm not broke? I may be, but you won't know it. And I'm not gonna accept your mediocrity wrapped in a bow and given to me. No. So I'm trying to become that person where if I'm given something that doesn't meet my standards, I'm just gonna politely decline it, you know? Or if I'm not gonna accept mediocrity because I don't think I'm a mediocre person. And I shouldn't accept things that are mediocre. Like, excuse me. But yeah, just a little bit of a rant that I was giving there. But yeah, everything's going up in price. It's depressing. It's annoying. And it's just like, and these jobs are not giving what they're supposed to give. You go on LinkedIn, you try to apply to jobs, everything's a scam. I was hit up by like 3 MLM scams, multi-level marketing scams. And I'm just like, and I told one girl straight up, because I was supposed to do like a Zoom interview. And I told one woman straight up, or whomever, I don't know if it was a woman or a man, because they might be perpetrating a fraud there too. But I was like, you know, at this point in time, I feel like the structure of your company is operating on a multi-level marketing platform, and that's just not something that is aligning with what I want to do in the future. But thank you so much. I wasn't rude. I wasn't disrespectful like the last person, and I ended up shooting myself in the foot, but I probably wouldn't have liked that job anyway. But, you know, I'm trying to keep it cute and keep it cordial, because you never know. Well, I know with that job, because I was about to say, you never know, you don't want to burn your bridges. I don't care about that bridge. That bridge can fall down like the London one. Anyways, I just wanted to briefly talk about that. But also, a lot of weird shit is going on here. So Gwen Stefani thinks she's Japanese. She did this interview with this magazine, and she's like, because she, you know, people tend to roll your beautiful bean footage when you're doing something else completely opposite of what you did in the past. So y'all remember Gwen Stefani, ugh, the crush I had on this woman. Not like a romantic crush, but like a girl crush, in terms of I wanted to not be her, but her style, her music, her just her vibe, I just wanted to like absorb it. I had her perfume, the Lamb perfume, LAMB, which was in a really awkward bottle. That thing was heavy. You put that in a sock and knock somebody upside the head, it's over for them. But it smelled so good. One time I was walking out my building and one guy was like, oh my god, what is that you're wearing? This was like when I lived in Harlem. Like, where did I live? I was near Central excuse me, I was near Central Park, and I was walking out the building, and this guy, and gentrification was really hitting the neighborhood, and a white guy was walking behind me to exit as well, and he was like, wow, you smell so good, what is that you're wearing? What is that? And I was like, oh, this is Gwen Stefani's perfume, Lamb. I didn't say it like that, but you know. And I was just a hardcore Gwen Stefani fan, and it totally went over my head, the whole Harajuku era that she was going in, or she capitalized on. Because to me, at that point, what was it that she was doing? My brain is soup today. But what was it? Hold on. Oh, cultural appropriation. Damn, I'm stupid today. But anyways, yeah, cultural appropriation, it existed back then, obviously. But I didn't know it was a thing. So I was just like, oh my god, look at all the pretty color outfits and the girls that she hangs out with. They're so cool. And I didn't realize it was appropriating a culture. And she was literally using those four girls as like props. Because she had four like Harajuku Asian women that went everywhere with her who didn't talk. They just wore outlandish kind of crazy outfits, and they just followed Gwen Stefani around like they were her sons or something like that. And then anyway, interviews talks about that particular moment in Gwen Stefani's life, and she's like, yeah, I just realized I'm Japanese. And everyone's like, you're Italian, I don't know where you got that from. And then she talked about how her dad, I think he worked in the military in some way, shape, or form, and he would travel to different countries, as they do, and he would bring back, you know, these souvenirs and tell her these stories. And she was just like enlightened by it, and she's like, yeah, so I'm like, I'm totally Japanese. And the interview is probably doing one of two things: either getting secondhand embarrassment, or is basically like, this is gold. They're like, this is pure gold, can't believe I stumbled upon this. That interview is probably like, wow, the amount of attention I'm gonna get from this story is chef kiss. But yeah, I feel like Gwen Stefani has done the appropriating a lot. She was Japanese, she was a Chola, aka like Hispanic Latina, she was Black, she's back to being white and doing country music or whatever now. Now she's in her makeup bag, because now she's putting out makeup with her makeup line. I think it's pronounced Give, but it's not spelled the traditional way that Give is pronounced. But anyways, yeah, so that I found really weird and interesting, and she doubled down on it by calling herself Japanese. I think she needs to be evaluated, or maybe she was just joking, because it's an interview. You can't really pick up on the type of I guess the nuances and stuff in her voice. You won't be able to tell how she meant it, because you're not hearing it for yourself. This should have been a podcast, honestly, because I would have loved to hear the inflection in her voice and how she meant it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Gwen Stefani is not going to be appropriating anytime soon, because the amount of smoke that she got, crazy. But yeah, I still kind of like Gwen Stefani, but not as much. I haven't listened to any of her newer, if she came out with anything new, in quite some time. Speaking of people appropriating, Ariana Grande. She apparently is back to being white after she was Asian for a bit. She was Black, and then that's about it, I think. But people were getting worried because she was posting on, I think it's Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, one of them, and she looked really, really thin. And people were like, oh my god, I hope you're doing okay, I hope everything's all right. She did look a little skinny, because you know that those bones on your what's it called, that area on your chest before you hit your breast, what, decolletage or something like that, the bones over there were very, very pronounced and protruding, and people were concerned, and they were saying her arms looked a little thin. I do hope she's okay, even though she goes around licking donuts and painting herself brown to appear that she's darker than she actually is. Those things aside, I do hope she's not suffering from any type of, what do you call it, body dysmorphia or anorexia or bulimia or ED. Hope none of those things are happening. But yeah, maybe she's just back to being white. White people are very skinny, for the most part, not all of them. And also, Bella Hadid, Kim Kardashian, all those Kardashian chicks, everybody who appropriated some type of Black culture is going back to being white. They're losing their butts, their stomachs, their weight. And yeah. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about her. I try not to worry about rich people. Anyway, staying on the subject of pop stars, Shakira and her younger ex-husband, some soccer player. Who cares about him? He cheated on his wife, Shakira, at the time, multiple times, and now he's with some chick that looks like he ordered Shakira from fucking Wish. But anyways, she dropped a diss track, and baby, she read him his rights, as she should. But honestly, how can I put this? There were so many cards stacked up against that relationship. He's significantly younger. He's an athlete. He didn't have a problem with her putting her career on hold to have the kids and, you know, to raise the children and allow him to do what he wanted to do. Very similar to like Tom Brady and Giselle, what they were doing. And the mom, according to Shakira, the mom-in-law lived next door, his mother. That had to be a nightmare. I would have shot myself in the foot. But yeah, she dropped a diss track running all their business. And she said something about, you had me like a Rolex, but now you're dealing with a Casio, referring to his current woman. And then he thought it would be funny to buy stock in Casio or come up with a collaboration with Casio on a watch. And then Casio, their stock, as soon as they announced it, or as soon as he announced that he had a little collab with them, Casio's stock plummeted so the stock just plummeted. It was so funny. It was like, oh, you thought you was getting one up on my girl Shakira? You tried it. I hate when men are in the wrong and then they try to one up you, and then God just humbles you real quick. Like, sorry, you're not the chosen one. But yeah, hopefully they iron the situation out, because quite honestly, they have two little boys. They're very well-known people in their towns and respected careers. And yeah, I hope it just doesn't get too ghetto. And apparently Shakira had like a witch on her balcony playing, like, I don't know if it was her song or a song that had the word witch in it, and a witch mannequin was pointed directly at the mother-in-law's house. Baby, when I see Shakira is not one to be played with, but child, let me see real quick. What is Shakira's astrological sign? Because this is giving me real petty, not even petty, because it's warranted, quite honestly. Let me see. Let me Google it real quick. She's 45. She looks great. Damn. She was born February 2nd. An Aquarius? Ooh. Wait, is that Aquarius? Hold on. I don't think it is. Yeah, it is Aquarius. Yeah. I'm laughing because, well, I'll talk about them in a bit, but Blueface is an Aquarius, and baby, you don't fuck with Aquariuses. They're very, like, visionary, creative people, but that mean streak, choo, bad. But anyways, yeah, shout out to Shakira. Love that pettiness. Anyways, Kanye's married, apparently. Do y'all care? Because I don't really care, because he just got a whiter looking version of Kim. So, and Kim is apparently going batshit crazy. If y'all are on the YouTubes, you don't even have to be subscribed or anything like that, or have an account, but look up Tisa Tells, T-I-S-A Tells, T-E-L-L-S, for those who are like, what? But yeah, she be getting the dirt on all these celebs, child. She ran down like the Kanye and I think it was Kim issues. Basically, Kim was feeling a certain type of way because he got married so quickly, and she probably thought she was going to get married again before Kanye. And I don't know if you remember, but Kanye was begging pleading for his family to come back, and she was paying him dust. She had Pete all around her kids within the first week of knowing him. Had little North sitting on his lap in a little go-kart. I'm old school. I'm black. We don't do that. Okay? My mom, I can tell you on countless times when me and my mom have been out and she's been like, look at that little girl sitting on that guy's lap. That's not even her father. Why would the mother let her do that? And da-da-da-da. And I get it. There's a lot of creeps out there. And you don't know that. I don't care if this man is famous or not. That is your child. That is your daughter. Why you have your daughter sitting on a grown man's lap that's not related to her? And even if they were related, know that relative enough to know that it's okay for that child to sit on their lap. Okay? That's not cool. We don't do that. But she's not one of us. And North is only half of us, so. But yeah. So she's talking about, oh, I want to meet her. Oh, I don't want her around my kids. And but you have Peter on your kids, and he's a weirdo. He's a whole fucking ghost. All pale and sickly, and probably did all the drugs in his life. Probably has a lot of emotional issues. Apparently he does. Apparently he gets violent. Ask freaking Cindy Crawford's daughter, who he dated at one point, and Cindy Crawford and her husband had to come through the apartment in New York City because Pete was acting so erratic towards their daughter. So I guess he knows who to fuck with, because Kim and them would not have that, probably. And I forgot her name. Is it Hailey Gerber? She's a big time model. Or is it Kayla? Regardless, they were in a relationship for a little bit. He acted really out of the ordinary, and she got out of that real quick. But anyways, you had your child or children near this man who has a multitude of issues. And I'm sure, I don't know if the woman who apparently was like the creative director for Yeezy at one point, I don't know what her situation is, but at the end of the day, you have no stones to throw in this battle, my dear. You had that weirdo around your children. So, and he has your kids' names tattooed on him. Like, what? So, Kim is in her feelings because she's not getting chased anymore. And not even desired anymore. Because, quite as it's kept, Kim is pretty, but this girl that he's with now, and allegedly married to, she's very much, she might have had work done, but she's very much naturally pretty. Like, when Kim was in her heyday, when she looked like she was Armenian, before the surgeries and everything, she looks like that Kim. Just lighter. She doesn't tan, or she doesn't tan as much. I don't know. But he literally got with a woman that looked like Kim in like 2001, or give or take, the early 2000s, let's say. But she's not feeling it. She wants to see marriage certificates. She wants to see all this stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, Kim, you're just going to have to fall back. I understand where you're coming from because of children, but you need to get out of your feelings. I feel like you're getting in your feelings about this, and it's not about the children anymore. Because if it was, you wouldn't have them around Peter. But anyways, moving on. There's a chef called Chef Wei. He recently was, again, Twitter will do it every time. They will roll your beautiful bean footage. He basically got called out on being a colorist. He was terrorizing black women, dark-skinned black women to be exact, and calling them all types of names, commenting on pictures with dark-skinned black women, saying, oh, it would be better if this dark-skinned woman wasn't in it. He would literally leave comments saying, oh, she's too dark. Harassing high schoolers at one point, telling them how they were this, that, and a third, calling them all types of names, etc. And yeah, he got called out on it. He apparently is an attorney as well. I don't know what fall from grace you have to take for you to be an attorney and then end up being like a YouTube, TikTok, Instagram chef. But yeah. How mighty they fall. A couple of interesting tidbits. He made some half-assed apology, talking about, I have changed and cooking has really healed me. Making that ashy-ass oxtail pasta has healed you from colorism? I don't think that's not how it works. I'm sorry. Two, there was a clip of him cooking something and his mom, who is fairly light-skinned, she looks like she may be mixed. Anywho, she came out and said this is not the way she raised him. I don't know where he learned this shit, but not from me. But anyways, she was trying some of his food and according to her facial expressions, she was not feeling it. So this guy can't cook, apparently, at least from his mom's standpoint. And also, his wife or her fiance, she's of the Asian persuasion. She actually popped up in one of his videos and she looked like she was being held hostage. So she might not be with him very long, unfortunately, because the amount of sponsors that dropped him after all this came out, he started out with like 10 sponsorships. I think he has like maybe 2 now. So yeah, I just hope that black women just stand with this and don't forget, because we have a tendency, not just black women but black people in general, we have a tendency to forget when people are racist or colorist and da da da, and then they come out with something new and then y'all clamor to it, and then I'm like, bruh, this man was calling women porch monkeys on Twitter like 6 months ago. He just dropped a new mixtape and now you're just like, eh, I like the beat, so I'm just gonna continue to listen to it. That's not how that works. Continue to help hold people accountable for their shitty actions, please and thank you. Stop forgetting people are pieces of shit. Stop letting them capitalize off of us. God freaking dang it. But anyways, moving on. That's the majority of the topics I wanted to talk about. I also wanted to talk about the Tennessee cops. Let me see if I still have that in my browser. Because there were these cops in Tennessee. They were getting real nasty at the precinct. I don't even have that freaking tab anymore. Hold on. Let me see if I can search it. Okay. I found it. So this is from NBCNews.com. 5 officers were fired as sex scandal rolls Tennessee Police Department. Actually says Royals, whatever. Anywho, I'm not going to read the whole article because it's long. But apparently, like 5 officers were out here just using the freaking Tennessee. What town is it? Because let's see. It's a place in Tennessee, Laverne or something like that. Law, Vergne. However that's pronounced. But they were holding or hosting girls gone wild type of parties. They were engaging in oral sex in the police station on duty. The main culprit was this little hoe ass Megan Hall. She was a female officer at the center of the scandal. Obviously she's been fired along with like, what, 4 or 5 other officers? Yeah, they were having parties. They were getting head in the freaking police station. This Megan chick was out here slobbing knobs and then busting perps an hour later. Bruh. Like, is it that boring at that particular precinct where you have to, like, fuck on each other to protect and serve? Okay. Not. Never mind. I was about to say some real messed up. But yeah, this is not what they mean when they say fuck 12, alright? They don't mean have sex with your co-workers. And I don't know what was going on with this Megan girl, but she was insinuating to one of the other officers that got reprimanded and fired that him and his wife have some type of threesome. Like, I don't know. I think she might be, they're all unhinged, obviously. But she seemed like the very proactive one in terms of the initiation and the keeping the ball rolling, pardon my pun, or maybe in this case keeping the balls rolling. But yeah, she seemed like the person that was one to keep everything alive and keep everything going on, because she was out here just busting it wide open, giving oral, having sex, being in his girls going wild parties, taking a tequila to the head in the videos. I'm like, oh my god, I didn't see any of the videos, thank god. But yeah, she seemed like the one who wanted to continue to fuck on her fellow officers. That shit's weird. I know of office romances, or like workplace romances. I've seen it happen. I've seen coworkers like get together and try to be on the, you know, the sly with it. But yeah, I don't think it's really worth it unless you, you know, you leave that job and you stay in touch with the person, and then whatever happens when you're not employed there can't be reprimanded for it. But I know coworkers who are together and they're still working together. It's not, I guess it depends on the environment. Obviously this one is not the environment you want that going down in, but, and this is, has nothing to do with relationships, this is all sex. This is just all them being real freaky and horny and just eek. Can you imagine the floors in that police station? They're probably very sticky, disgusting. Anyways, so late breaking news, but not really. I think it happened a couple of days ago. So Krishan Rock and Blueface, I know you're tired of hearing of them. I know. They apparently went on the No Jumper podcast. Krishan apparently got a little belligerent and she was asked to leave. I saw the interview, the majority of it. I watched like 90% of it. And I'll get to that in a bit. But apparently Krishan is pregnant with child, which I called about a month ago, because she just looked different, because she's always been petite, but she looked bigger than usual. So anyways, she announced with 3 pregnancy tests on Instagram and saying happy birthday baby daddy, because I guess Blueface's birthday was like the 20th. Shout out to all the Aquariuses out there. But not this one. Anyways, he immediately was like, nope, not my baby, we're broken up, business, this is a business relationship, I'm a business relationship only, she's been with 10 men, how do I know this baby's mine, I'm not claiming anything until I get a paternity test, blah blah blah. And she's like, you know what, I don't want anything from you, you're gonna reap what you sow, God don't like ugly, you're gonna pay for this. But she didn't threaten him, she just like, God will put the wrath on me. That's what she meant. Anywho's, yeah, they did a little back and forth on the Twitter twatters, and apparently she went up for a checkup and all that other stuff, recording it. But yeah, this ain't gonna end well for anyone. First and foremost, Krishan revealed that she had previously deleted 3 of her previous pregnancies, if you know what I mean. And she's keeping this child because she doesn't want to continue to delete her children. That's a problem. You should probably just have children when you actually want to have children. However, with, you know, deleting children, what happens is every time you go for the procedure, they're like scraping the lining of your uterus. This is what has been explained to me. I've never had a situation of this nature, thank God. So if you continue to do that, scar tissue actually develops, and then that makes it a problem if you want to have children in the future, which I'm sure she wanted to, not under these circumstances, but you know, it is what it is. So that's probably why she's saying she didn't want to have another deleted pregnancy, because she didn't want to continue to put her body through that. However, prior, when she was on a No Jumper podcast, she was drinking Henny straight from the bottle. And she also, I think she was chasing it with Fanta. But yeah, still, if you had any inclination of you being pregnant, you should stop all recreational activities. You know what I'm saying? Any alcohol, any of that, so you need to stop it. But yeah, hopefully she's not going to be drinking or doing any of that stuff while pregnant. But I hope that this particular child, if the pregnancy goes to full term, I hope he or she is happy, healthy, and safe. Those three things, I don't know, will coincide with the dynamics of the relationship she has with her supposed baby daddy Blueface, and I don't know if that will happen with her history and her upbringing and her childhood and her mental state. So a lot of people are like, oh, this baby's gonna change you, this baby's gonna, why would you have to wait for a child? Why would you bring an innocent child into this situation hoping that the adult changes? Like, some of y'all, I worry about some of y'all a lot. I don't know if she wanted to keep the baby because it's very obvious that Blueface is a lot more tentative and loving towards his baby mother, the woman that has his two children. And she thought, hey, if I have his child, he'll treat me better. But that's not the case. That has been proven already. But also, during that interview, if you watch the interview, you can see Krishan, yeah, she was acting a little erratic. She was under the influence of alcohol. But you can also see how Blueface, as well as, what's his name? Wasn't even a good, well, there was a girl named Gina that was also there who was doing the interview with Blueface and Krishan, but there was the other guy. What was his name? Whatever. Him and Blueface were really just, they were giving me really weird vibes. First of all, homeboy, how can I put this gently? He was literally fanboying over Blueface. He was just like, yeah, me too, bro. Yeah, we're the same. We got the same thing going on. I was like, yo, loosen the grip your lips have on his dick right now. It's part of my candor, but you were fanboying that guy so fucking much. And he was just dismissive a little bit when it came to Krishan. When she was talking, there was a few interruptions. Gina, shout out to her, she was actually trying to get an actual interview going. She was being attentive to Krishan, you know, but I felt like Blueface and the other dude was just like egging her on, and I didn't understand why no one else was picking up on it. I'm not saying Krishan doesn't have her problems, she has many of those, and I do hope she gets the help that she needs in the future, or she actually needs it right now, but I hope she gets it right now and she's able to implement those things that she's learned through therapy or whatever in the future. But I was surprised that people were just like not picking up on it. And what really made me want to just vomit was the way that he was just like, I'm gonna do this interview alone. And she's like, why you act like this, why are you doing it? And literally had her escorted out, like taken out, like you take a child out of the supermarket because they're having a temper tantrum. It was just so disparaging. Like, I don't understand. A lot of times, and I've had this happen to me when I was younger, and I was seeing someone, and they were a little older. I'm pretty sure they're in the same, like, age bracket. I think, no, Blueface is older, because Krishan is, like, 21, and I think Blueface is, like, 26, 27, whatever. But this person was, like, I was in their, my 20s, they were in their 30s, and I didn't pick up on it until someone pointed out it to me, because he grabbed my arm playfully, and he was like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And someone wasn't looking at us, but they heard us, and they were like, oh, he was talking to you? I thought he was talking to his son, because he had a kid. I thought he was talking to his son like that. It sounded like he was talking to so-and-so. I was like, whoa. And it dawned on me, like, he didn't see me as an equal. He saw me as a younger person. He saw me as a child, and he was treating me as such, which I'm picking up on with Blueface and Krishan. Obviously, there's a lot of arrogance there on his part, a lot of narcissistic tendencies. He literally in the interview was like, see, he didn't say this verbatim, but he basically alluded to the fact that he wanted a woman that would just sit there and be quiet and not be all active all the time. And then she was like, I will be that for you. I will definitely, look at me, I love you. I will be that for you. And she's like literally begging for his love and attention. He's just like playing her in dust, because he's just using her and utilizing her for fame and fortune, because he said himself he's not doing music anymore because he fell out of love with it. I think it was because fucking music fell out of love with him. I don't think anybody was bumping his shit like they were in the past. So he saw reality TV as a way to get some more money, be on the come up. Came out with Blueface Girls or whatever it's called. Blueface House or whatever. That little Bad Girls Club kind of ripoff with his spin on it. And that's how he met Krishan. But yeah, so he found a new avenue to exploit women while making money. And he found Krishan, who is a very interesting individual, and he's pretty much capitalizing on it. She doesn't pick up on it yet. I am pretty sure she still is not picking up on it, because apparently all that back and forth, she tweeted a picture of them in bed together. I'm just like, girl, why? But you know, I can't sit here and teach people, help people how to love themselves. That's something they have to do with themselves. That's a road that they need to walk alone. Because I can't do it. I'm trying to put love and affection into my existence, and I can't do it for everybody else. I can't pour from an empty cup. And this is not just about Krishan. I'm talking about just like in general in life. I can't just sit here and pour from an empty cup. I can't be encouraging and give everybody all this love and affection and attention and all that other stuff, and think not only that, but yeah, I can't be everything to everyone and then be nothing to myself. You know, everybody should actually implement that right there and there. Like, you can only do so much for other people. Also, self-care, get into it. It doesn't have to be like cosmetics and buying beauty products and stuff like that. Just, you know, self-care can be mental care, just taking a nap, just sitting back and relaxing, watching a movie, which I hope to be doing tomorrow, going to the movies. But, you know, just taking time to yourself, reflecting, trying to get from point A to point B, leveling up in your personal life, your career, all that other stuff. That's a form of self-care too. You're taking care of yourself. It doesn't necessarily mean putting on a face mask, but that is part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I just wish that the Krishans in the world had someone to talk to, because it's clear that she needs someone, and she has a bunch of yes men and women around her telling her whatever she wants to hear, which is fucked up. But yeah, I don't know how this saga is going to unfold. Hopefully it doesn't end up in tragedy, but I sincerely hope that they all, well, I hope Krishan comes out winning in the end, because she needs a win. She needs a win. But anyways, yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about today. I'm pretty sure there's some things I forgot. Probably TJ Holmes and that Amy Robach or whatever the hell. They dumbasses, they got some lawyers because they thought they were unlawfully let go. What the fuck ever. Just fuck on each other and leave us alone. You got your little relationship. He's gonna probably cheat on you, like he cheated on everybody else. So enjoy while it lasts, sweetie. We don't care anymore. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I wanted to talk about briefly Lori Harvey and how she basically is doing this, like, what do you call it? She's having her men sign these kind of contracts saying, shh, be quiet. Don't talk about a relationship. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. And I think it's genius. I think it's wonderful. And any of these men that are getting upset by it couldn't afford to sniff Lori Harvey's farts, let alone be in the same room with her, let alone be with her in that aspect. So I think it's smart, because these men are chatty Cathys these days. They will rule your beautiful bean footage too. It's deplorable, but yeah, Lori has a good head on her shoulders and she's doing it right. That's what I think. Anyways, yeah, Meek Mill was upset about it because she didn't pay him dust. Oh well, your eyes are too far apart. No one cares what you can do. So anyways, hope you all have a good rest of your week. Hope you had a great weekend. I will talk to y'all later in the week, or actually next Monday. So thanks so much for tuning in, guys, and I'll talk to you next time.
That concludes this week's episode of Noir and Nope. Feel free to check me out next week, where we talk about more random news, entertainment, and just general interest stuff for your pleasure. Until next week, guys, take care of yourself and others. Bye.